This is Dr. Max D. Younts, pastor of the Heritage Baptist Bible Church of Walnut Grove, Minnesota. This is our Bible class, and we are glad that you could join with us today. We hope that you will get your Bible out and be ready to follow along. We'll be back in just a moment. Thank you. It is so good to have you join with us the same time each week, and it is our privilege to have you follow along in our weekly Bible studies. We appreciate that very much. We're over now to the book of Revelation. We're continuing on, finishing up here in chapter 5, and then getting ready for the devastation that God is going to put upon this earth, things that mankind cannot even comprehend, and yet there's judgment coming upon this earth, and so vividly that God's described it in chapter 6 to chapter 19. Just before we begin, while you're going in your Bibles over there to Revelation chapter 5, I'd like to say a thank you to each one of you. We have some of those that have written us that are shut-ins and are, because of illness, are not able to get out and to go to church on Sunday morning. And yet, we thank you very much for your letters and appreciation of the broadcast and your encouragement that you enjoy listening, following along, since you're not able to get out and go to your church. And we're happy that the broadcast is on the air for that reason. That's one of the reasons. And we appreciate your letters very much. Maybe you're one that has never written us, and yet maybe you're not able to get out. And you listen every Sunday to the radio broadcast, and we'd love to hear from you. Let us know that you do listen. We appreciate that very much. And for all the wonderful letters we get, we are just grateful for them and do thank you very much. I just always like to take time to thank those that write, because I don't want you to ever think they do not go unappreciated, because they do, and they're appreciated very much. Now as we continue, and we hope you have your Bibles open and that you don't just listen Sunday mornings, but you get your Bibles open, you follow along with us. We're here to Revelation now in chapter 5. And everything stood still. We found out that Christ is the Redeemer. Jesus Christ is the only one that has the power and the right. He is the omnipotent. He's the omniscient, the omnisapience. He's the all-wisdom, all-powerful God. He is the only one who can bring the judgments on the earth that this earth so greatly deserves. It really does. I was in a home the other day, and we were talking there, and it just seemed like the person in there was, it just never stopped. Oh God, oh God, oh God this. And I said, you know what? I said, you have an awful lot of blessings of God. And yet, that's blasphemy. That's outright cursing God. And I didn't mean to insult the person, but you know what? There are so many today that just take it for granted, the wonderful blessings that God has given you. And then to just use his name in vain, oh God this and oh God that, that's blasphemy. And God denounces that sooner or later. Sometimes people learn that when God takes his hand off, the blessings come off also. But we're back to the Lord Jesus Christ now, the one who has prevailed here and the one who has the right to open the book. And we're continuing now, or we wouldn't have the book of Revelation if Jesus Christ had not been willing to pay the price. He had not been related and not have the price to pay, which is the requirements for redemption. We had found out that a slave could be redeemed if he was sold into slavery because he failed in order to pay his debts. We found out a wife could be redeemed and have a husband if her brother was a relative. He was willing to do it, and he had the price to do it. He could go over and take his brother's position and carry on the name of the family. He could do that. Then we found, as we're going to see here in conclusion now, we're not going to recapitulate clear back over everything we had last week, but in conclusion now, we found out that God is going to redeem the land in Isaiah chapter 35, and that the desert's going to bloom like a rose, and the places that are parched now where you can't grow anything, God is going to redeem that in the kingdom, and it will blossom like a rose. It most assuredly will. But now, in conclusion, where we're finishing up from last week, the animal kingdom, what about it? If you remember now, the animals in Isaiah chapter 65, the animals there, the wolf shall lie down with the lamb, and they shall be at peace. There will be no more fear. You remember in Genesis chapter 9, where when the animals after the flood, they were taken for meat and so forth, that God said he's going to put the fear of man into animals. That fear will be taken away, and there will be no more meat diet for man in the millennium, therefore, when God, therefore, has redeemed even the animal kingdom. Now, in your Bibles in the New Testament, the book of Romans has something to say about that. And I think with this little background that we've had in studying here, the redemption here of the lamb, the slave, and so forth, and how Christ redeemed us. He bought us. Also with the animals here, you'll understand this in Romans chapter 8. So if you have your Bibles, let's go over to Romans chapter 8, and let's pick it up here in verse 19. Here we have it. For the earnest expectation of the creature, that is, in the Greek, creation, should be translated creation, waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. Well, what is the manifestation of the sons of God? Well, we're going to see that. That's the rapture. That's the redemption of our bodies. Notice what it says in verse 20. For the creation was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. We find out this was done in Genesis chapter 9. Because the creation itself also, get this now, shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption unto the glorious liberty of the children of God. Now we know in verse 22, for we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Notice in verse 23, and not only they, but ourselves also which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. We got a phone call here just the other day, and we had some relatives call and said, Pastor, would you call a certain person in Ohio? And this man was led to Christ in our church down there, and to the best of my knowledge, and a wonderful man. He'd come up from Arkansas, Fort Smith, Arkansas, or that surrounding area. And I'll never forget him telling me, he said, you know, I went to one of these churches down there that everybody's trying to go to heaven on the good works, and they were all telling me how wonderful man that I really was. And he said, daggone if I didn't believe that. But he said, I knew it wasn't true. But he said, boy, I loved it, though. That didn't sound bad. Everybody thought I was the greatest guy that was. And he came to our church and preaching the Bible. The Bible says we've all sinned in Romans 3:23 and come short of the glory of God. So in order to be saved, you got to be a sinner, because Christ came to seek and save that which is lost. If you're not lost, you can't be saved. And if you're trying to save yourself, you're not going to be saved. You're just lost, and you've refused to admit it. You don't know it. And you're going to soak in your self-righteousness in hell for all time and eternity. You'd be like the man in Luke 16. Give me a drop of water that I can wet my tongue, for I'm tormented in these flames. But to shorten the story, anyway, he became very, very ill and is now very sick and can hardly breathe and can hardly talk. So I called him on the phone and talked with him. And it was so good to hear what little he could talk a little at first, and then the voice, it just didn't have the strength in his lungs to carry on. And I told him, I said, you know, I said, now, we never know who's going to go first. I could go out of the house and get in a car wreck, get killed. No, you just don't know. You can go out and drop over with a heart attack. You may go to heaven before me. But he saves, wonderful man. Now, I used to stop at their house and drink a cup of coffee and visit with them, and hadn't seen him for several years. But the relatives wanted me to call him and talk to him, and he just wanted to talk to me, I guess. And I told him, I said, you know, now I want to give you a little bit of advice. And he was telling me about his body has just give out. He said, I don't think I'm going to be here long. And I said, well, you never know. These old bodies do give out, and you know, they get sick, and the older we get, the more bruise and bumps we get. It takes three times as long for them to heal up. I bumped something the other day, and I'll tell you what, it was my wrist. And that crazy thing's been 3 weeks now, and it still hurts. And it just, things don't heal up. Back when I was 20 or 25, I suppose in a day or two it'd been all right, and way I'd be gone. Well, it still hurts. And things just don't heal up. The old body is the older it gets. We got to watch and things. And he was telling me, he said, the body's just about wore out, Pastor. He said, it's just about wore out. And I said, well, I said, I tell you that we never know. I said, but when you get, if you go before me, now the rapture may come, we'll go together. I'll see you up there. Cloud from Ohio, cloud from Minnesota, saints from Minnesota, and I'll see you on the way up. But if you should precede me, I said, I don't want you wasting any time now. I want you to go up there looking around, and when it's my turn to come, I don't want to be cutting and wasting time here. I said, I want you to show me around, will you? And we sort of laughed about that a little bit. And I said, not only that, you're going to have a new body, a brand new one. You're not going to have any of the sickness again. You won't have any trouble breathing. You won't have any trouble at all. You're going to be with your Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to be together. So shall we ever be with the Lord? And so forth. Oh, what a difference it makes when you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior. But it tells us here, notice again in verse 23, and not only they, not only the animal kingdom. You know, the rabbit runs from the fox. And do you know the deer runs from the wolf? And it's just the animal kingdom. It's survival of the fittest, I guess. You know, everything preys upon everything. And but you know that time will come when that won't happen. There will be perfect peace in the animal kingdom, just like there's going to be perfect peace not only for the Christian in heaven, but also a peace from the aches and the pains of this old body, because we're going to have a new one. Notice what it says, verse 23. Not only so, and not only they, that is the animal kingdom, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves, groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. So when Christ died for us on the cross, he not only redeemed our soul and spirit to heaven, he also said, as we say in Philippians 3, 20 and 21, our conversation is in heaven, from whence we look for our Savior, the Lord Jesus, who shall change our vile bodies, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, whereby he's able even to subdue all things unto himself. Just as the Lord Jesus had a resurrected body, so the Christians have a resurrected body, and our redemption includes both our soul and spirit and our body. Also, the redemption that Christ bought is going to be a redeeming of the land, it's going to be a redeeming of the animal kingdom, and a peace on earth such as never been since the Garden of Eden and before Adam sinned. Now, let's continue on here in our study here in the book of Revelation as we come on down here in chapter 5 and get a few more things here. And then it's exciting as we're going to see these terrible judgments that's coming out in chapter 6 of the book of Revelation here. In verse 8 we read, and when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the four and the 20 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of orders, which are the prayers of the saints. Again, the four and the 20 elders represent all of mankind, with the 12 apostles, the 12 tribes of the nation of Israel, fell down before the Lamb. Here certainly we have an act of adoration and worship. In chapter 19 and verse 10, however, the words of the angel show that only God may be worshipped. Therefore, we must conclude from this that the Lamb who is here rightfully worshipped is God, and the Lamb is clearly the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, again, this book, with its heavenly glimpses, exhibits the deity of the Lord Jesus manifest in the celestial spheres. The harps and golden vials, literally the Greek reads, having each a harp and vials golden. The word vial could also just as well be translated bowl. Therefore, in this rapturous scene, we see these heavenly creatures holding instruments which make music to praise the Lord. For this, we ought to observe two things, I think. First of all, let's observe that there are those who oppose the using of any and all musical instruments in the church worship and in the service, and we will have to say they surely err. Such is one, and we might as well let you know who one is. It is the Church of Christ. Now, there's a difference between the Church of Christ Congregational. Now, the Church of Christ Congregational uses music, but the denomination of Church of Christ, and they do not use any musical instruments at all. In fact, they deny that they're even a denomination, and they say they're the true Church of Christ, but they are a Church of Christ denomination. Number two, the harps here do not, by any imagination support the worldly wise fantasy, and I heard this when I was a boy, that the redeemed will do nothing throughout eternity except play harps and sit around on clouds and just float around all day long. Well, nothing could be further from the truth, you see. I think it ought to be noted that the prayers of the saints are not lost also, nor do they disappear into the vapor. No, they are preserved by God, as is seen here in the vials, until his time for their answering, as we're going to see. The 24 elders having the prayers of the saints further confirms to us that these are the representatives of the redeemed who are with Christ in heaven. Another thing we'd like to bring out by singing. You know, today, it's a far cry. The music that I guess that we're going to hear in heaven, far cry from what some of this jungle beat stuff that you hear today. Much of today's music follows the pattern of the late Janis Joplin of the Full Tilt Boogie Rock group. Rock music fans have bought probably over a million of her albums, and included in one of those is titled Cheap Thrills. She's reported to have said, and I quote now, "Beatniks believe things aren't going to get better and say, to the hell with things, stay stoned, have sex, and have a good time." Well, I'd like for you to stop here just a second. Go back in your Bibles to Psalms chapter 55 and notice in verse 23, because Janis Joplin, who thought she was just going to fulfill all of these desires through all of her singing in these rock, which is no more than jungle music, that's about all it is. It's designed to get you. And you know, Janis Joplin thought she was really a very cool girl. She was really fulfilling all of her sexual desires, her drug use and so forth. And you find out that she died at 27 of an overdose of drugs. How much different are the praises of God in verse 8? And what a challenge for us to show the youth of today the cheap thrills demand a very costly price. But we go back to Psalms, and I'm surely Janis Joplin fulfilled prophecy back in the Bible. Maybe not everyone to the exact extent, but this young girl, when they examined her body and prior to burial, she was eaten up with syphilis, venereal disease. She not only died of an overdose of drugs, but a venereal disease had practically eaten her up. She was 27 years old and got all of her thrills, didn't she? Notice what it says in verse 23 of the 55th chapter here. If you read the whole chapter, it's very interesting, but it says, "But thou, O God, shall bring them down into the pit of destruction. Bloody and deceitful men shall not live out half their days, but I will trust in thee." Surely Janis Joplin didn't live out half of her days, did she? And you know, there's many others like her today, and maybe you're one. You know, maybe you're one that's hooked on drugs or alcohol and whatever it might be. Maybe you're one hooked on sex. You know, as a teenager, it seems like we're going out and we're going to experiment with free sex. And when it comes time to get married, you know, you've just been with about every boy, or the boys, they've been with about every girl. And you know what? God wants you to keep yourself pure. You may think it's cool, but I want to tell you something with these aids today. You may laugh having your fun, but you won't be laughing when they tell you that you're HIV positive. And you know what? There's a lot of high school students have this now. They have AIDS. Do you know that? The more and more, there's a few leaking out. The government doesn't really want everybody to know to the fullest extent of what AIDS is, but it's a full-blown epidemic in America, a full-blown epidemic. So you may go with that boy in high school that maybe has slipped over to the cities and went out to a house of prostitution and picked up AIDS, and you never knew anything about it, young lady. And you go out with him, and yes, you have your free sex, and pretty soon you're going to find out a couple of years later that, you know, you're HIV positive. You've got AIDS. You're going to die. You'll probably die before 30 because you went out and you wanted to fulfill your lustful desires. Truly, this verse, I think, would have an application, would it not? Let me read it again. "Bloody and deceitful men shall not live out half of their days, and I will trust in thee." Half of their days. Surely Janis Joplin didn't live out half of hers, did she? As we've said. You know what? You may be in that dilemma yourself. I just want to tell you this. It's not God's will that you should die before your time. It's not God's will that you should have a venereal disease that penicillin and paramycin and some of these treatment drugs don't have any effect on it anymore, you know? And, of course, if you get AIDS, and let me ask you something, how do you know, if you're a boy, that the girl hasn't slipped out and went over to one of the big cities and had her fling, come back, and she's infected with AIDS? I'll tell you what, if you ever practice morality, and I want to tell you this, you hear this coming out to use this and use that in order for safe sex. The only safe sex is abstinence. That's all. That's the only safe sex. And you young people, you know, you may not listen, and you'll have the wild ones running around town, every town. They'll laugh. They got everything under control. But I want to tell you what, I'll be there when they call the preacher, or some other preacher will. My son or my daughter's got AIDS. What can you do? There isn't anything we can do except tell them about Jesus Christ and get their soul saved for heaven by trusting Christ, but we can't save their life. We can give them eternal life, but we can't save their physical life, and truly, they'll not live out half of their days. What a sad plight, just to have some cheap fun like Janis Joplin that died at the age of 27. Young people, if you're listening, I'd surely think it over. And parents, if you think you can just let your child go and do whatever he wants to do, or she do whatever she wants to do, then you're a fool. The Lord says, train your child to nurture in the admonition of the Lord, and then, when they grow old, they'll not depart from it. You got to give them a foundation, parents, or they'll have nothing to build upon except their own lustful desires. God holds you responsible. Teach your child the things of the Lord. Train them, Ephesians 6, chapter 6 says, in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. We hope that you'll do that. Let's go on down now as we begin to examine here. Notice what it says. And they sung a new song, a new song. And that's a song that had never been sung before. That was something new. You know something? Have you ever noticed that one of the characteristics of the book of Revelation is that it is the book of new things? Of new things. For example, you know, first there is a new name in Revelation chapter 2, verse 17, a new name given to each one of us. Do you know that? A new name. Second, there's a new song. We have here in chapter 5, verse 9, also in 14, verse 3. Third, there's new heavens and new earth in chapter 21, verse 1. Number 4, there's the new Jerusalem in chapter 21, in verse 2. And then fifth, we have the promise of all new things in chapter 21, in verse 5. I think all of us can remember some time back the dreamy anticipation that as we waited for some new thing in our life, I've always wanted a new car. Up until recently, I can't work on them now, they're so complicated, I don't want one now. But clear back in the 50s and the 60s, I thought it'd be neat to have a new car. I really did. I never had one at all, never did get one until I was going through Bible college. And a dear saint that lived on the West Coast, and we were going to school in Miami, Florida, Bible college in Miami, Florida, and I'd work at Florida Portland Cement Company, I'd work till midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning, drive, stay there, go to school, and then on the weekends we pastored a church over on Marco Island, pastored a little Baptist church over there. We'd drive over on the weekends and that. I had an old Nash Rambler and heard all some funny noises and got over there on a Friday night after work, early Saturday morning, and I had one of the mechanics over there, went to our church, he's a deacon in the church, and he said, Pastor, he said, I got bad news for you. He said, whatever you do, he said, don't you ever get in this car, drive it to the junkyard, and pray you make it. I said, can it be fixed? He said, it's gone. The A-frame's gone. I didn't know what an A-frame from a B-frame. I didn't know a C-frame from a D-frame. I didn't know what he meant, but I knew he knew his cars. He said, drive her slow, about 15 mile an hour, pray you get there. He said, if it drops out, get out. We call a wrecker. And but anyway, to make a long story short, I didn't know this. And I said, oh, how am I going to finish my college? I don't have a car and I don't have any money. You know, we had some people come down from Naples, Florida. And this lady had inherited a fortune. And I didn't know it. And she come down and she took us out for dinner. And on the way to dinner, at least I thought we was going to dinner, she went there to a new car dealer. This was on a Sunday now. She'd already made these arrangements. And she said, you know what? Would you like to have a new Volkswagen camper? Oh, boy, I love them Volkswagen campers. They had good gas mileage. I said, oh, I'd love it. I said, what are we going to do? I can't finance it. I don't have any money. I said, all I can do to pay my school bill. We pulled up there, and it had already been prearranged. And she said, pick out any one of them you want. And I said, oh, my, I never seen anything. I only new car I ever had in my life. And she said, I bought it for you. I paid the insurance for a year. She said, I want you to finish Bible college. I love the prophecy that you teach. She said, we can't get that around here. And they drive down from Naples, Florida every Sunday morning, every Sunday night. And she said, which one do you like? And I said, I want that red one, that fire engine red one. Oh, it's a beautiful thing. It's a gorgeous thing. And she bought that and paid for that, finished college with that. Isn't that a wonderful thing? And that's the only new car I ever owned in my life, you know. I wouldn't have one now because I can't work on it, and I can't afford to have it worked on, so I don't know what I'd do with it, you know. Drive it till I had problems with it, I suppose. But you know, in the book of Revelation, all things are new. Revelation chapter 21, verse 5. You know, another thing, all of us will look forward to perhaps a piano, perhaps a car, perhaps a home, but all these quickly vanish away. You know, here's something sort of interesting. Here the Greek is significant because it has two words for new. There's a word neos, N-E-O-S in the Greek, and it means new in point of time. It means young, but not necessarily new in point of quality. Kainos, K-A-I-N-O-S, means new in point of quality. Kainos describes a thing which has not only been recently produced, but also the like of which has never existed before. All of the verses that we quoted, the new name, that's Kainos. There is a new song, Kainos. New earth, Kainos. New Jerusalem, Kainos. All new things, that's Kainos. Never existed before. All the verses use the word Kainos. Therefore, when we believe in the Lord Jesus, He makes us a new creature, a new creation, in 2 Corinthians 5:17. He says, we're brand new. If any man be in Christ, he's a new. That's Kainos. You've never been like that before. I'll tell you what. Thank God that you're a brand new creation in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Not only is He given you a new body, a new creation, He's given you also, you're born again. You're born again. You're new because you now have the Holy Spirit of God. Thank God for that. Well, I see our time's gone. We hope you'll take time to write us, but the most important thing is, have you been born again? Have you a new nature? Have you the Holy Spirit of God? By believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Been so good to be with you. Hope you'll take time to write. Our mailing address is the Heritage Radio Bible Class, Post Office Box 573, Walnut Grove, Minnesota, and our zip code is 56180. Until next week at the same time, may the Lord richly bless you as we ever pray. Even so come, Lord Jesus.